And there's a lot of passages of the Word of God that I've preached from a lot of times and had altogether different messages from those passages. And this is one that I've never really seen this way before. And I hope that it'll help you the way that it's helped me this week as the Lord's dealt with my heart on this passage of the Word of God. Chapter 11 of the Gospel according to St. John, verse number 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Of course, Lazarus has died. Their brother Lazarus has died. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And she's right, he wouldn't have. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's not what Jesus asked her. Jesus asked her, Do you believe that the one that's dead is going to live again, that he that believeth in me, though he liveth, shall never die? And he said, Do you believe this? She said, I believe you're the Christ. That was not what he asked her. A lot of times we're guilty of doing the same thing that Martha did here. And our faith is weak and limited. And the Lord's asking us to trust Him and believe Him. And we say, well, I'm saved. I sure am glad I'm saved. And that's not even the issue particularly at hand. I'll say, thank God that you can trust Him and believe Him in all things. And now look on further in the passage, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in her house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, I want you to notice verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which had opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon him. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now notice that word dead in your Bible is italicized. Any of the italicized words in your King James Bibles are words that are added in the English language for clarity. And so do know that, because that will play into the message later on in the Word of God. And verse 40 says, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead lay was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because the people would stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he that was dead came forth, bound both hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now I want to preach, if God will be my helper this morning, on this thought. How do you react when you're hurt? How do you react when you're hurt? I want to show you two of the Lord Jesus' closest friends, Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had fallen ill and passed away. And I want to look at their lives, these two sisters, and examine their response to their pain. First this morning, I want you to notice their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of these women were friends with Jesus. They were friends with the Lord. This is not the first time that they've ever seen the Lord Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see how that their lives and the Lord Jesus' life has come and has crossed paths before. And they before have been found friends of the Lord Jesus. Their love was shown to Him in service. In Luke chapter number 10, the Bible tells us down in verse number 40 or so that when Jesus had come into a certain place, that Martha, a woman of that city, brought Him into her home to feed Him, and she had a sister by the name of Mary. And the Bible said that Martha, in verse number 40, was cumbered about with much serving. And now we sit sometimes and read this passage and see how it was, and then she complained because Mary, her sister, was not helping her serve and rather sat at the feet of Jesus, and we criticize Martha for running about the house and serving. But I want to say, in her own way, Martha was attempting to show the Lord how much she loved Him and how much she cared for Him. And she was not serving Him out of restraint, and she was not serving Him out of slavery to the Lord Jesus, but rather she served Him because she loved Him. And it do us some good this morning to learn some lessons from Martha. And she didn't have the close relationship maybe that Mary did to the Lord, but surely she's to be commended this morning for her love that was shown in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we really love Him, we will serve Him. I believe that. And so we see her love shown in service. We see their longing shown in fellowship as they sat at the feet of the Lord. Verse number 10, or chapter 10 of Luke, in verse 39, the Bible said that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His words. Wouldn't it be good this morning if we spend more time sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His words? It wasn't enough for Mary just to feed Him supper. It wasn't enough for her just to have Him in her home. It wasn't enough just to make sure everything was clean and neat and well kept and all these things. Down in her heart, she said, if Jesus gets out of here and He's proud of our home and He's pleased with the way the table was set, but I don't get to hear His words, then it's been a wasted evening. I want to say here at the church house, if we come and go and every song sung with every note in place and everything hits out on the program, everybody's where they're supposed to be, and the preacher says all the right words, but we don't sit at the feet of the Master and hear His words and fellowship with His Holy Ghost, it has been in vain to come to the house of God. May God help us this morning and get at the feet of our Master, hear His voice, thank God, and fellowship with His sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit romance you and you romance with Him. He said to him that openeth the door, said, behold, I set the door knock. And to him that openeth, He said, Brother Charles, I will sup with him and he with me. That means I'll dine with him. I'll eat with him. Today, why don't you just pull up to the Master's table? I ain't got to eat all He's got for you. And hear His voice. I ain't got in fellowship with Him. And you can leave today saying, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It is worth my time to be in God's house. If you'll sit at Jesus' feet. They had a personal relationship with the Lord. It's shown in their longing to fellowship and sitting at His feet. It's shown in their love, my friend, in service. And then we see their personal relationship and their level of devotion in shedding tears. Chapter number 12, after the resurrection of Lazarus. The Bible tells us that Mary had came to where Jesus was in Bethany, and she brought an alabaster box, the Bible said, and she broke the box and she poured it on His head, and she poured it on His feet, and she wept over His feet and dried His feet with her hair. And some of them around said, "Oh, this is a waste. Why was it she did this? This alabaster box was expensive. This spikenard ointment was expensive." But the Bible said that some of them stood around as the aroma filled the house. And they said, "Why did she do this? She could have taken that and sold it and given it to the poor and helped them." Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always." But the Bible said she anointed His body as a prelude, preparing Him for death. He said, "You don't have me with you always." I want to say here today, listen, if I was to say to some of you now that you better appreciate your mama while you got them, you'd say amen, and surely it'd be right, because you won't have her always. How did I say to you here today that you better appreciate your children while you got them, because one day they'll be grown and gone and you won't have them always. Now listen, Jesus said you'll have people around you all the time. You'll forever have the poor with you. That said, "I'll just be here for a few more days until I'm gone." I want to tell you something, friend. When it comes to worship down at the house of God, we need not spare any expense. We need not reserve any of ourselves. We need to expend all of our emotions. Invest all we've got. Sunday morning will be gone soon, and we'll not have it forever. All week long we'll get to deal with heathen people, but just for a short time we'll have on Sunday to worship one with another. And we better take full advantage of it. Get at the feet of our Master and shed our tears. Break our props of worship. Hallelujah. Thank God. And romance with our sweet Lord. It'll not last forever. It'll not be forever. It'll just be for a little while. Oh, I never have understood why it is that folks are in such a hurry to get out of church on Sunday. We get 1, 2, 3 hours a week. Far to most, if you're here on Wednesday nights, to get to be with God's people at the house of God. And for some reason or another, we're in a hurry to get going. And all week long, we get to be with the heathen world. Oh, we better make the most of every moment. We better cherish every minute. We better make the most of every second we get to worship the Lord here at the house of our dear God. Oh yes, fellowship and that personal relationship we have with the Lord. I'm telling you, they had a personal relationship with Christ. It's shown, and their love shows it in service. Their longing is shown in the sitting at the feet of Jesus. Her level of devotion is shown in shedding of tears. But notice now, we see their personal relationship. But I want you to notice their pain. Their pain. Now listen, just cause that you've got a personal relationship with Jesus don't mean that you'll never suffer a broken heart. Just cause you know the Lord doesn't mean that your heart will never break. Just because you've been saved doesn't mean that you'll never have hard times, and you'll never suffer pain, and you'll never lose a loved one, and you'll never suffer illness in your family. I want to tell you something, friend. It rains on the just and on the unjust. At time, and listen, the race is not to the swift, nor the fight to the strong, but time and chance happeneth to them all. I'm saying if you live long enough, you're going to get old and you're going to get feeble just like everybody else does. And just because you know the Lord doesn't make that stop. It doesn't do away with all the bad things of life. These ladies had a close personal relationship with Jesus, but they still suffer pain. And you and I will too. You and I will too. They suffered pain. Now listen, we can talk about Lazarus' pain this morning, but I'm not preaching on Lazarus. I'm preaching on Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha had pain. Somebody looks around and they see that person that's suffering. They see that person with cancer, and they see the person with struggling with different illnesses and ailments and whatever. And a lot of times we don't ever see the caretakers, and we don't ever see the family members, and we don't ever think about that one that's standing there waiting on them hand and foot, and maybe even lost money, having quit a job or set some other things aside, and have given up on some of the time that they could be spending a pleasure seeking, or spending with their children, or spending with some other person. having a good time and fellowship, and they've sacrificed of themselves to give care to the one that's ill. Through the extended illness of Lazarus, Mary and Martha suffered pain. Their heart broke as they stood beside his bedside, and they watched his body curl up in pain, and his forehead wrinkle as pain shifted through his body. And those sisters' hearts broke. They wiped his forehead with a wet rag while the fever ran through his body. And down on their inside in their heart, they said, "Oh God, don't you even care? Where are you, Lord, when I need you the most? Somebody go get Jesus." But the more they longed for Jesus to come, the more hopeless the situation became. And they said, "He'll never arrive." Down in their hearts they were breaking. Down in their hearts they were heavy. Those of you that ever sat beside the bedside of a loved one while they're sick and dying, sat beside a bed of someone while they writhed in pain and struggled for one more breath, know the pain Mary and Martha was going through. I'm telling you, friend, just cause you're saved don't mean you'll never suffer pain. Oh dear Lord, and if you've not experienced it, you will. It'll come my time and yours. If I don't die first, I'll sit beside the bedside of my wife. I'll pat her fevered brow with a wash rag. And I'll have to watch her draw her last breath. If I don't die before my children do, I'll have to hold that baby in my arms. Oh, dear God, and deal with the death of a loved one. And my friend, you don't know, and I don't know, that today might be our day to suffer that. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha have gone through. Through his extended illness, they'd suffered pain. Through Lazarus' extended illness, they'd suffered pain. I imagine now, listen, hey, being a preacher and an insurance agent, I get to see a lot of pain, I get to see a lot of death. Hey, and I've gone to funeral homes, I've watched them stand around the caskets, I've seen the tears drop on that dead body as folks wept over their loved ones that's passed away. I imagine Mary and Martha, when it come time that Lazarus passed away, and they had to make arrangements with a mortician, and he come down there and picked up the dead body of their brother. And I listen, friend, somebody walks up to the casket and they look at that body and they say, "Oh, don't he look so pretty? Don't he look so good?" And by the way, I'll be honest with you, I've never seen one of them that looked all that good to me. But maybe they're trying to say he looks natural or whatever. But I want to tell you something. You're looking at that body now, but you didn't see death before the undertaker got a hold of it. I'm telling you, friend, death ain't a pretty sight. And those sisters sat and watched their brother struggle to death and die. Then the undertaker takes his body down to the grave, down to there to the funeral home. He does all the treatments to it, and he tested it, and the Bible teaches us and shows us through Hebrew history and culture that they didn't have quite the same embalming techniques that we have today, but they did anoint the bodies with ointments and oils and things to try to keep them from rotting and sinking any faster than what the natural decay of the human body and death would do. And they took him down there, and they had a funeral, no doubt, and a memorial service. And the preacher said kind words and pretty things that somehow or another in the hearts of Mary and Martha just was not adequate. Down on the inside, they're celebrating. I sit over the dead bodies of people from time to time, and many other preachers have, and I'm trying to encourage them and say nice things, and I've read pretty poems, and it might have even helped them in some way, but down on the inside their hearts still are breaking, and they're still aching, they're still hurting, friend. I'm telling you, the pain of losing a loved one is real. Somebody said, "Oh, why don't you just trust God? You'll see him again." You think Martha didn't know that? She said, "I know he'll rise again at the resurrection of the last day when everybody else gets up. That didn't hurt fix her pain right now. I'm still lonely. My brother's still dead. He's still gone. And she was still in pain." They took that brother, and this is the most difficult time for family, I believe, when they took that brother's body and they placed it in the tomb and they began to cover it back up. That's the final farewell. The graveside, when they start finally taking the dirt and putting it on that dead body's casket. That's a difficult time. And no doubt Mary and Martha suffered pain through all of that. And they hurt through it, Brother Eddie. No doubt their hearts broke as they saw that old stone being rolled in front of that tomb.
I knew that was the last time down in their heart they believed. It was the last time they was going to see their brother on this side of Jordan. And their heart was breaking, and their last memories was not of good times, but of his illness and pain. And then, friend, no doubt, in the days following that, every day they'd wake up, and they'd been fixing breakfast for him every morning, waiting on him hand and foot. They woke up the next morning, and Martha, being the server that she was, as she demonstrated with the Lord Jesus, she woke up, no doubt, ran to the kitchen and started putting on, and she might have even fixed two eggs too many. She might have even fixed too much food and have fixed them for Lazarus, but Lazarus is gone. She sat at the table expecting to drink her coffee in the morning with her brother. But her brother's gone, and loneliness set in. And loneliness followed, my friend. Oh, it's real, my friend. We all are going to face it in this life. Her pain was heavy upon her heart. No doubt Mary sat down once. She said, no doubt she being the one that listened the way she did, had the attentive ears, she might have just sat down there at the foot of the couch and thought, I sat here yesterday and heard my brother's voice, and he'd tell me how good of friends he and Jesus were. And today he's gone and the house is quiet. And today he's not here. And I'd give everything I've got if just one more time I could hear him say, see a silent. If I could hear him one more time tell me how he came to meet Jesus. But never again would she get to hear that. And her heart was heavy with pain. Those of you that's lost a loved one knows what I'm preaching on this morning. They were in pain. Just because you've been saved don't mean you'll never face pain in your life. Just because you've met the Lord doesn't mean that you'll never face difficulty and pain and trouble in your life. It's real. Their hearts are broken. And I know that's not all the story, and that's usually not even what we used to preach on. But it's a reality. It's a reality for them, and it will be for us. And it has been for many of us. It will be again if the Lord lets us live very long. My granddaddy mentioned yesterday one of his great aunts or something, and mentioned how she passed away just a couple of years ago. And he made the statement, and it hit with me harder because I was going to preach this message this morning, that she was the last of all of her family to pass away. She outlived them all. That's good, somebody said. She lived a long life. Yeah, and she got to experience the pain of watching every single one of them die, having to bury them in the grave and sitting there and watching them and knowing that she'd have to live lonely with nobody else around. And that's painful. That hurts, friend. The extended illness of Lazarus through the funeral and the burial, through the loneliness that followed. Now in verse 17 in chapter 11, the Bible said that when Jesus came and found that he had, speaking of Lazarus, he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now later in the chapter we find that it said he had been dead 4 days, but the word dead was italicized. It's one of those words that was added for clarity. We don't know for sure how long he'd been dead. All my life I've heard it preached he'd been dead for 4 days, but we don't really know for sure how long he'd been dead, but we know that he'd been in the grave for 4 days. He may have been dead longer than that. And Jesus had not come. It got so bad that his body had already started stinking. Loneliness, no doubt, had set in on the hearts of Mary and on Martha. The pain, their personal relationship. How don't you notice their puzzled minds? When Jesus does show up, when he does come into town, some of the Jews told Martha, said, Jesus is coming. And Jesus, or Martha ran out to meet the Lord. And when Martha ran out to Jesus, she said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when it was that Mary ran out there, after she had sat in the house, and some of them told her, said, Mary, the Lord's a calling for you. And she ran out to where he was, and she fell at his feet, and said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now listen, there's a couple of things I want you to see in that puzzled statement, friend. At first, I want you to notice the accusation. They're saying, Lord, if you'd have been here, it's your fault, Jesus. If you'd have just come when we called you, it'd still be living. If you'd just done what I asked you, I wouldn't be hurting the way that I am. And my friend, listen, hey, somebody said it wasn't right of them to talk that away to Jesus. And it wasn't, but I'll tell you, when pain sets in, and when your heart's broken sometimes, it's easy to say, oh God, why'd you do it that way? If you'd just done different, my heart wouldn't be broke. And if you'd just done different, my pain wouldn't weigh heavy on me. And if you'd just done differently, I wouldn't have to be bearing this burden. It's almost an accusation. It said, Lord, if you'd done what we asked you to and come when we called you, our hearts wouldn't be broken like they are now, and my brother wouldn't be dead. But there is some faith in the statement. They said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. They said, Lord, if you'd just been here, we know you could have fixed it. You could have made it right. Now, it takes a good bit of faith just to be able to say that. Just to be able to say, Lord, I know that you're able to make it right. I know that you could have fixed the problem. I know that you could have resolved this situation and saved us from this burden of pain. They're puzzled. They don't know whether or not to trust God or to be angry at Him. When you face pain, that's the way it is. When you really love God, you want to trust Him. Down in your heart, you want to trust Him, but the old flesh wants to rebel against Him. A preacher friend of mine tells a story, and some of you have heard him tell it, how that his daddy had the dog, had a little old chihuahua. Boy, I'm telling you, and them rascals, if you've never been around a chihuahua, they're nervous like a cat. And they got three times as much energy, and they will just chew you all to pieces if they can ever get a hold of you. And that dog, he said, would attack everybody but his daddy. He said his daddy would come in the door and give that dog a kiss and throw his wife a bone. I mean, said he loved that dog. Said he loved it more than anything in the whole world. Said that dog could sit in his chair and you couldn't even come near his daddy's chair without that dog just attacking you. Nobody could sit in that chair but his daddy. And said one day that the door was left open and the dog went out of the house and got run over in the middle of the road. And his daddy went out there to check on it. All tore up about that dog. And he hadn't killed the dog. He'd just broken one of his legs. And his daddy reached down there and grabbed that dog, and as much devotion as that dog had to his daddy, when he reached down there to grab it and try to help it, to try to assist it, dog attacked him and went all the way around his arm and gnawing on him and biting him. You know why he did it? Because he was hurt. He was injured. A lot of times in our lives when we face difficulties and we face trouble, the people that love us and are trying to help us, we get angry with. Sometimes it's even the Lord that we get angry with and we get frustrated with. And pain speaks instead of our faith. Pain begins to talk instead of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pain directs our prayer lives instead of trust and dependence on God directing our prayer lives. I've been there, and if you'd be honest with me this morning, you've been there too. And they said, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We see their puzzled minds. And then Jesus said, your brother live again. Martha said, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. You ain't telling me nothing I don't know. Jesus said, he that's dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. The question was in their minds then, when will he get up? Jesus said, believest thou this? And she'd done gotten to the point now where she didn't know whether to say yes or no. She said, I just believe that you're the Son of God. In other words, I don't know if I believe that or not, but I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe you're the Son of God, and whatever you say, I'm just going to listen to it. You ever been to the point where it seemed like God was beginning to work triumph out of your tragedy? Where he was beginning to turn your situation around? Where you feel like he was on the bottom, but somehow or another God was giving you hope to look up, and you really didn't know what to say he was going to do, but you knew he was just going to do something, and you was altogether puzzled about what his plan was. But whatever it is, you're beginning to get some hope about this situation that somehow or another God's going to make lemonade out of your lemons, that he's going to make everything turn out right, that he's going to work everything out where you thought there was no hope. I've been there, friend. I was cautiously optimistic. I really believe that somehow another God had come through, but I didn't see how. I was puzzled as to what his plan was. And that's where old Martha was when she said, Lord, I just believe you're the Son of God. And I don't really know what else to say. And I don't know really how else to believe. And I don't really know what else to tell you. And God, whatever you want, just what I want. So when you get there, God can do a work. And he can help you. When you get where you say, God, I'm really not sure. But it's yours. It's not mine. And you think it'll make of it what you want. And I'll just trust you and obey. Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't always understand. But I surely want to trust Him. I surely want to trust Him. And so He begins to show His pity. You notice when they threw this accusation at Him, if you'd just been here, Jesus, it's your fault. He didn't say, "Now, wait a minute, Martha. Here I am coming to raise your brother from the dead. You had to go and treat me like this. I'm just going to leave. I'm so mad with you. Anybody treat me like this, ain't no use of me doing a miracle for you. You ain't got no faith, and you don't believe in God. And all you do is throw accusations at me. And you and your sister, how long you've ever done some moves off of me. And every time I come around, you want me to try to tell you sweet things. And all this stuff. You don't really love me. You test me." Oh, he didn't do that. Aren't you glad whenever we come to God and our hearts is broken into pieces, that God doesn't look at us and say, "Why are you acting the way you do? Can't you see I'm trying to help you?" Instead, his heart breaks too. The Bible said his soul, his spirit was grieved within him. His heart broke when Mary's heart broke. His heart when Martha's heart broke, he broke. I'll tell you, my friend, he knew he was going to work a miracle. He knew he was there to help him. He knew Lazarus was about to come out of the grave. And still, he wept for their pain. I'll tell you, God knows He's about to turn things around for you and me. He knows that He's going to bring that triumph out of tragedy. He's going to help you in your situation. That's still Him. And it's not upset at us and questioning Him. And He's just said with a broken heart, "Please amend us and make us whole." For His honor and for His glory. He had no anger at them. He cast no accusation against them. He spoke words of comfort. He cried for their pain, even though he knew he was about to deliver them. No doubt in his heart, he thought of the Psalms 103 and 13. "As a father pitieth his children, so does our Lord pity them that trust Him." I'm glad that He does have pity on us when we're so bad off and when our hearts is broken. So we see their personal relationship, their pain, their puzzled minds, the Lord's pity. But then I want you to notice to close out this morning, I want you to see His power. I want you to see the Lord's power. He looked at all of them when they thought all hope was gone. There's a saying, if you'd have just been here 4 or 5 days ago, everything would have been all right. If you'd have just showed up early, everything would have been fine, but now hope's lost. He said, "Where did you lay Him?" They thought, well, He wants to run down the tomb and weep over the tomb. He's going to get down there and bellow over the headstone and weep and cry because His friend's gone. We ought to at least give Him the chance to grieve. And they said, "Well, we'll show you, Lord, come this way." And He went to where the stone was. Jesus wasn't looking for the stone so He could mourn over it and weep over it. Friend, He's looking for the stone so He can help them and to bring, my friend, resolution to their troubles. I'll tell you, God in our lives doesn't show up in the middle of our hardest times because He's morbid and enjoys seeing us miserable and enjoys seeing us suffer. He shows up in the difficult times that He might deliver us and show us His glory. He told the apostles before He went down there to Bethany, He said, "Lazarus sleepeth." And they said, the Bible said, howbeit He spoke of their death, and they thought that He had spoken of taking rest in sleep. And they said, "Well, if He's asleep, then He's doing well." And the Lord looked at Him finally and said, "Look, Lazarus is dead." He said, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto Him." He told them earlier in the chapter, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but said it's for the glory of God." A lot of times we're going through troubles and trials and we think, "Well, surely this is the one that's going to kill us. This is the one that's going to wipe us out. This is the last thing I can ever handle. I've had my fill of it now. I've had enough. My belly's slammed full. I can't handle no more. God's about to break me. He's forgotten me." You feel like Job laying there with everything gone. Nothing left but your rotten body. The only thing keeping you alive is the sheer providence of God. Your friends are turned against you. Your family's turned away. You smell like a mule and can't even take a bath and clean up. And yet, my friend, He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." That's when you think it's all you can take. It's not unto death. It's not the end. It's just so you can see the honor and glory of God. Woo! Which one's greater? A healing or a raising from the dead? Jesus let them suffer for all those days so He might display greater power to them. You think God ain't never going to show up? God ain't never going to bless? God ain't never going to help? And all He's doing is letting you get in deeper so He can bring you out with greater power and reveal Himself more to you. God ain't forgotten about you. through the illness, Jesus saw him there. They told Jesus that Lazarus is sick. He said, I know. But this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Some of them said, Lazarus is dead. Let's go see Lazarus. He told the boys, said, he's dead, but I'm going to go see him. And I'm going to show you my glory. Jesus saw them as they wept beside the graveside. He saw them as they patted their fevered brow of their brother and their hearts broken, their tears dropped to the floor. He saw their heartbreak and loneliness. And he didn't care. It wasn't that he was unconcerned. But he wanted to show them power and glory. In your life, you may be facing a trial or trouble this morning. And maybe some you don't know what to do with. And you say, thinking, Lord, it's gone on too long. God's just going to make me live with it. There's going to be no deliverance from it. There's going to be no help in it. God may be letting you get in deeper so He can show you more of Himself. Trust Him and God will reveal Himself to you, friend. When you get in pain, don't throw accusation at Him. Just say, Lord, I believe. That's our Son of God. And whatsoever you ask of the Lord, I know He'll surely give to thee even now. Oh, dear Lord. What a great blessing we'd receive if we could get there. And Jesus shows His power. He says, where have you laid Him? He's not going to mourn. He's going to show His power. He got there and He wept. And He said, roll back the stone. Martha come around to Him. I said, oh, now Jesus, don't do that. Oh, Lord, you don't understand, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. His body stinks. And you're going to embarrass the family. And she thought Jesus is going to run in there in the tomb, throw His body over old Lazarus' body and boo-hoo and cry. And say, oh, God, I'm so sorry I wasn't here for you, Lazarus. And I'm so sorry that you're dead. And I'm so sorry you're gone. And I wish unto God I'd just been here a few days ago. But Jesus told her, said, if you'll but believe, you'll see the glory and the power of God. Somebody said, I ain't going down that altar kneeling down embarrassing myself. I ain't going to weep and cry in front of everybody and embarrass myself and embarrass my family. And I ain't going to sound strong, sweat, and snore like that preacher does. But if you'll just believe, He'll show you the glory of God. Throw your pride in the trash and set the trash can on fire. I got to trust Jesus and He'll show you His power and His glory. Dear Lord, I wish I had a voice to preach with. Thank God. He'll help you if you'll not trust Him. Forget about self and family and friends. And trust in Jesus. She said, Lord, He's already gone to Smithland. Please don't disturb Him. He said, roll back the stone. Hey, some statements made by Jesus. Wherever you laid Him, roll back the stone. You'll but trust me, you'll see the glory of God. And then He makes a prayer. He said, Lord, I thank You that You hear me when I pray. And said, I know You always hear me, but I'm not saying it so You can hear me, but I'm saying it so everybody else can hear me, that they might know that You always hear me. You get all of that. And He said, just let Your glory be manifested to them. Just show Yourself to them, Lord. Just show it to Him, Father, that I got the power, all the power in heaven and earth. And He stood up and He made one more statement. He said, not abracadabra, alakazam. Amen. Stand up from the grave and be alive just like I am. Oh, no. He just says, Lazarus, come forth. Old color preacher said that if he had just said, come forth, every dead body in the graveyard had got up. Amen. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, Lazarus come out, bound hand and foot. A napkin about his face. I can see him now. They bound him up like mummies back in them days after they anointed their bodies anymore. I can just see him hopping out of there in that old suit. All I'm done thought his body's rotten and he come hopping out in that suit. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Amen. Oh, I thank God for it. Now listen, hey. And the Bible said in chapter 12, when Jesus went and eat supper with Mary and with Martha, said, and Lazarus was there eating with them also. Amen. He didn't even raise him back up sick. But here's Elijah. seven whales sitting at the table eating supper with them. And deliverance was greater than they could have ever imagined. That's because they trusted and saw the glory of God. Now, some of you who's not sitting by the graveside, by the bedside of a loved one and wiped their fevered brow with the sins or with the illnesses and the sicknesses of this world, you've not seen the temperature run to 105 and them shake like they was going in the convulsions and watched their body die. But you stood sat beside your bedside at night and dropped tears on your floor and prayed for your young'uns that are sick unto death of the sickness of sin. And you watched your friends and your family members as sin began to rinse their body and tear them apart and sentencing them unto eternal death. You watched drugs rot their brains out, alcohol pickle their hearts and their lungs and their liver, friend. And you've been concerned about them. You prayed. Some of you have been praying for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years for that child or that loved one, that husband or that wife. And you feel like Mary and Martha thanking God ain't never going to show up. And God ain't hearing your prayer and He ain't concerned. But every tear that's ahead in your pillowcase at night, He's balling them up. And He sees your pain. And someday He's going to come to your Bethany, thank God, and call their name. Hallelujah. And save them by grace. Just don't give up hope. God will send sweet deliverance your way. They're dead in the trespasses and sins. Their unrighteousness and wickedness stinks in the nostrils of God. They ain't in no better shape than what Lazarus is in. Bound by the grave clothes of sin. Like a slave to it, friend. And they can't come out on their own. And no matter how much you get down beside that stone, gravestone of sin, and you pray that God will deliver them until Jesus calls their name and says, come forth, they ain't a coming out. Oh, but that day, blessed day, happy day, when He does call their name and say, come forth, they can come out, thank God. And all the things that have bound them and kept them enslaved to sin, He'll take loose and let them go free. And let them sit down at the table with the Lord Jesus and fellowship with you and the fellowship and sweetness of the God of Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Mary and Martha said, we won't never get to sit down with Jesus and Lazarus and eat again. Oh, but whenever Jesus sat down in chapter 12 to eat, it wasn't just with Lazarus, but it was with Mary and with Martha and with Lazarus. Some of you right now would kill to get a chance. You give your left or right arm to get a chance one more time. Just sit in this place with some of your lost family and loved ones and see them saved, and y'all get to worship together while tears roll down their face and they shouted the goodness of God. Let me assure you, they're not beyond hope. Thank God He can call their name, and all of you can sit down at the table together in worship, thank God, and rejoice in the goodness of God together with one another in Christ Jesus. Hope's not gone. Help's on the way. How do you react when you hurt? I don't know why God ain't saved your loved one yet. I don't know why God ain't saved mine. I got a feeling it's probably because they won't submit yet. But I just trust Him enough that I'll just keep praying. He'll keep working on them. And I don't pray just that He'd save them. I pray He'd just be merciful enough to convict them just one more time and just one more day and deal with their hearts just once more, that they might come forth and live again in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen now. It's real. I know the pain of it's real. Some of you right now with tears in your eyes, that's what you're thinking about. It's that loved one that's lost and undone. That brother or sister, that husband or wife, son or daughter, grandchildren, it's on their way to hell. And it's a real burden, and it ought to be a burden on us. But I want to remind you, we serve a real God that's got real power, and He can really change lives with a real salvation for His honor and for His glory. And don't give up hope, but don't quit praying. Just trust Him, and you can see the glory of God manifested before you. You see, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And morning may be sooner for you than what you think, if you'd but just trust God and let Him show His glory unto you. Amen. Would you stand? Maybe you need to come pray this morning. I don't know what your problem is in your life. Maybe you're that lost loved one that somebody's even been praying for. I don't know. But whatever you need this morning, I say you, God surely can help you. If you'll but come and trust Him, fall at His feet like Mary did, and just say, Lord, if you just call it, if you just name it, it can happen. I'll just trust you and believe in you, and the Lord will do a miracle for you. Would you sing whatever's on your heart this morning? You need to come pray this morning. You come. Don't give up. Just pray. Don't give up. Just pray. Prayer can work as much as God can work. Prayer is just as big as God is. Don't never give up. Just pray. Just pray. Amen. Sing. Sing. Said a lot this morning about Mary and Martha's pain. But we didn't preach much from chapter 12. At the dinner table, as the living, breathing Lazarus sat and spoke with the Lord Jesus and hugged his sister's necks, and they ate together and fellowship together, we don't see any pain then. No more weeping down by the graveside then. No burdens then. No heaviness of heart then. No, my friend, trouble then. No brokenheartedness then. But it's fellowshipping with them and with the sweet Lord Jesus. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What's the office of Christ? What was the office of Christ? Isaiah 61 prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of the Lord for the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. His office is one of comfort. His office is one of comfort. So even this morning, if you're in the midst of your pain, be comforted in this. Jesus has come to fix situations just like yours, and to help loved ones just like yours. And if you'll but believe, you can see the glory of God. I wonder this morning, I just don't feel like closing with this. I want us to sing one more verse. I don't know why. I'm not one that usually sings one more verse. Somebody may still need some help this morning. And I don't know your heart, but I trust that you'll obey the Lord. Well, we sing one more verse. If you need to come pray, you need to come do anything this morning, you need to go to somebody. Maybe there's been somebody here that's just been a help to you in your trials and tribulations and mournings. You just need to go to them and tell them that you appreciate it. I don't know what you need to do this morning. I just want you to be obedient to God. He can help you. Just when you think all hope is lost, He can help you. He can touch you and He can do a work for you. Thank God. Trust and obey. You can see the glory of God.